John chapter 15. John chapter 15. I want to preach out of a parable, the vine dresser, and the branches. The vine dresser, and the branches. How many know that we're a work in progress? How many can give me a big amen on that? Amen. I'm a work in progress. You don't know, Pastor. Amen. I was talking with some of the men in the small group last night, and of course, we all agree we're not doing the small group just to mark time. Amen. Our time is very precious and valuable to us, but we're able to come together in a group. Sometimes it's a couple group, women's group, whatever it is. But I said we ought to be able to measure progress. In other words, at the end of these sessions in these small groups, and by the way, these small groups are outstanding. I mean, they are just fantastic. I enjoy them so much. And already I can see God moving in them. But at the end of these sessions in August, I said we ought to get to August and be able to look back and say, look what God has done in these last 3 months. And measure progress, because we're a work in progress. God is doing something in us. God doesn't want to just leave us, but just like the analogy that we have of the potter and the clay, God takes us in his hands, and he begins to shape us and form us. And as Pastor Paul just mentioned, anything we do in and of ourselves is not going to be a good thing when we're in control of it. But if we'll put ourselves and surrender ourselves to God, man, I'm going to tell you something. God will take an ugly old piece of clay, amen, and make a beautiful vase out of it. And so I kind of want to go talk a little bit about that tonight, preach a little bit along those lines, how God takes us. And as long as that we stay connected to the life source, it's amazing what God would do. As you're finding John chapter 15, I want to read about this vine that's in London. It's called the grapevine. It's a grapevine. And it's the oldest and largest known vine in the world. The grapevine is more than 240 years old, 120 feet long, and it was planted in 1768. That's a big vine. The grapevine was first planted in a glass house, built to house Queen Mary's collection of exotics from the tropics. Its roots were planted outside, and its branches were trained inside the glass house, which measured 60 by 13 feet. But listen to this. By the 1790s, the vine was thriving so much that the glass house had to be lengthened by a further 11 and a half feet. By 1800, the girth of the trunk was 1 foot. By 1887, it was 4 feet around the base, and today it measures 12 feet around the base, and the longest branch is 120 feet. It's usually harvested in September. It takes the vine keeper around 3 weeks to remove all the grapes, which average 500 to 700 pounds. The largest recorded crops were 2,245 bunches in 1807. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't have a green thumb. I know some people in here do. You look forward to gardening. I can barely keep the grass alive in my yard. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. You just happy to go out on a Saturday when you got some time and cut the weeds. Amen. But the good thing here is when Jesus is talking about this parable, it's not us that's in control of the fruit. It's the vine dresser that takes care of the branches. And here's what I want you to see tonight is that as long as that we stay connected, how many know that God is going to produce something out of that? Hard to believe that God can produce something out of this old flesh of mine. Amen. Let's read this, if we could, John chapter 15, starting in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. There it is. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered and they're thrown into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We ask, Lord, that it would go forth, God. Lord, that you would speak to us tonight, that the Holy Spirit would have his way in our heart, God. Lord, that we would leave this place changed and transformed by the power of God. We give this service to you in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen. Now, as we look at this parable, it's more than taking care of the vine or growing some grapes, but Jesus is really trying to impart something to his disciples. They've just come out of the Last Supper. He's in his last days. They really can't understand and comprehend what's about to take place. God's purpose for sending his son to this earth is to go to a cross and to die for humanity. So really what I believe is that he's trying to prepare them for life. How many know life can sometimes be very difficult? You don't get to choose sometimes what life throws at you. I would love to be on the mountaintop all the time. I love the mountains. I love being on the mountain. I love the sunrise, the sunset. Amen. Fishing all summer long. It's wonderful. But can I tell you something? Sometimes there's a hailstorm. Oh, all y'all down there that live in Fountain, can I get a big amen? Roofers everywhere. Roofers, man, they're coming out of the woodwork from all over the country. And the truth tonight is that, you know what? Life can be very tough sometimes. You're going to have storms. And so Jesus is saying, hey, listen, as long as you stay connected to me as the life source, you're going to make it. Amen. Jesus is the vine. Those that put their faith in him are the branches. So the first thing that I want you to see with me tonight is the power of relationship. And that's what these small groups are about. It's good to have relationship. Amen. Iron sharpens iron. It's good to be able to pray for one another. But in this case, it's who you know and who the life source is. You know, in Panama, when I lived in Panama, we went down there. We didn't have a vehicle. We actually had to rent a vehicle for a couple of weeks. But we ran into this guy that had a restaurant. And I could have swore this guy was in the mafia. I mean, I'm telling you, he was that type of person. The way he talked to people, the people that he knew. And so if you wanted something done, you asked this guy. And somehow I got in with this guy. And this guy knew that guy. And this guy knew the guy that knew the guy that knew the guy. How many know what I'm talking about? And when you live in a foreign country, it's who you know. Man, you got all kinds of red tape. You've heard Pastor Jones talk about these countries being constipated. Everything is slow. You can't get nothing done. But if you grease some palms, amen, I'm not saying it's right, but sometimes you got to do what you got to do to get things done. And so this guy, I bought this car on this auction online out of Miami, and he said, don't worry. He says, this gal that I know, she'll take you from step one all the way to step 10, and you'll be just fine. And I remember the day that that car came into the port, and I got a phone call. She called me. She said, you got to meet me at 6 o'clock in the morning. We're going down to the port. And from what I understood talking to people, they said, you might as well pack a lunch because you're going to be there until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a long process. It's extremely hard to get through. But this guy told me, he said, listen, this is the gal. This is the woman. As long as you know who you know, you'll be all right. So we got down to the port about 8 o'clock. And we walk into the offices. There's a line of about 50 guys, Panamanians. I'm talking, these are some hardcore guys. And this girl, she's only 4'11". And she said, just follow me. Don't ask any questions. Don't say nothing to anybody. Just come with me. We walked in there, walked right past the whole line of 50 guys. And there was one guy standing up at the window already, and she just basically stepped in front of him and moved him back. And she said, my name is such and such, and I'm here with Dustin Jones. And the papers were already there in line. They were mad at her. They're like yelling at her. She's yelling back at them, and I mean, dressing them down. And I mean, it was the most wonderful thing. And by like 10 o'clock, we were driving away from the port in that new vehicle. It was awesome. It's who you know. Can you say amen? It's not what you know, it's who you know. And in this passage of Scripture, in verse 1, he says, I am the true vine. How many know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So that tells me tonight that if he's the true vine, then any other vine is false. Can you say amen? There's only one true power and source of life. Islam is a false vine. Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, all these other isms are a false vine. And, you know, even in evangelical circles, there's a lot of faith that's put in your own works, in your self-efforts, and that becomes religion. And what he's saying is there's no connection to Jesus, the life source. It's who you know, the true vine. He's telling the disciples, listen, I'm not a religion. Stay connected to the vine. I'm the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. You know what that is? That's not religion. That's called a relationship. It's a relationship. We need a relationship. Secondly, tonight, if you're taking notes, I want you to know that if Jesus is the vine, and here he even says it in verse 1, my Father is the vine dresser, God is the gardener. Isn't that interesting that he uses this analogy of God, the gardener? Because how many of us really want God the genie? We want it now. We want to ask. Ask and you shall receive. We take our Bible, we rub it, amen, we manipulate it, we name it and claim it, we blab it and grab it, we expect God to do something for us. We don't want God the gardener, we want God the genie, amen? And here he's using God as a gardener, somebody that will actually take care of the vine and begin to prune the vine. Can you say amen? And I believe this catches the disciples off guard. They really can't understand this. But then when Jesus goes to the cross and he ascends to heaven, all of a sudden these things begin to make sense. The way God's going to grow his will and his purpose in us and his plan for his life is he can't be a genie. Can you say amen? He has to be a gardener. You know, if you treat God like a genie, you're going to be very frustrated. Amen. I think it was Pastor Paul that mentioned how many kids, you don't just go into a grocery store, amen, and just let your kids pick up anything off the shelf and say, I want this. And then when they throw a fit, amen, sometimes you have to get mean and nasty with them. Can you say amen? God the gardener, amen? Hallelujah. Salvation flows from the vine, the source of our peace during persecution. It flows from the vine. Healing for our body flows from the vine. Provision flows from the vine. And let me just say something tonight, that gardening is a process. When I say that you and I are a work in progress, amen, God is doing something. We may not see what he's doing, but when we're connected to the life source, God is working, and he's really what he's doing is he sees the end result. Can you say amen? Look at verse 2, if you would. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But then pay attention to this. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or he cuts back that it may bear more fruit. I had to look this up. It says in Wikipedia, pruning is a horticultural, silvicultural practice involving the selective removal of parts of a plant such as branches, buds, or roots. Don't get any ideas. I saw some of you. When you heard bud, you knew exactly what I was talking about. Reasons to prune plants include deadwood removal, shaping by controlling or directing growth, improving or maintaining health, preparing nursery specimens for transplanting, and both harvesting and increasing the yield or quality of flowers and fruits. Now listen, the practice entails targeted removal of diseased, damaged, dead, non-productive, structurally unsound, or otherwise unwanted tissue from crop and landscape plants. Anybody that's ever worked with plants or in landscaping understands this result. So he's saying that he's not necessarily cutting off, but really what he's doing is he's cutting back. He's cutting back. Cut off implies that you were set to the side. God doesn't set us to the side. Can you say amen? The source of love that flows from the vine is a continual, flowing, sustainable source. Let me just say this tonight. You know, God has a bigger plan. Whatever you're going through, it may seem like a setback, but can I tell you something? Really, what God's doing is God's getting you ready for a bigger miracle. We're thinking, where is God in all of this? Why can't I get an answer to my prayers? I don't feel God. You ever been there? All I feel is pain. All I see is darkness. All I hear is the noise, and I can't seem to tap into heaven. And really, when we feel like that, we don't understand that God's ways are bigger than our ways, and God's pruning. He's taking some things back, and in this, God has a plan for us. Amen? He knows what he's doing. He sees the bigger picture. Now, I want to end it with this tonight, and I want you to listen carefully. If we're not patient in the process, we'll miss the reward. Because as we read this, there's one word that stands out. Anybody know what it is? It's that one word, abide. Abide. The word abide is used 10 times in John chapter 15. Abide. Abide in me, I'll abide in you. You know what he's trying to say to us? And it almost sounds monotonous, because when you're going through something, here's what you hear from a lot of other brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. Almost sounds monotonous. Time and time again, you're going through a hard time. What do they always say? You know, okay, yeah, I know. Don't quit, but you don't understand what's going on. The world's pulling me. I'm struggling with this. I got this battle that's going on. This thing's bigger than anything I could ever handle. And what do they say? Don't quit. Jesus here is saying, don't quit. Abide in me. As long as you don't quit, I won't quit on you. That's what God's trying to tell us. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. And he's saying, stay connected. That's your life source. Amen. I know you don't feel saved. Amen. There's a lot of times when I just don't feel saved. But as long as I'm connected, I know I'm saved. Not because of how I feel, but because of what he did for me at the cross and what the Word of God says about me. Can you say amen? So here's what's important to know. If we're not patient in the process, we'll miss the reward. What are you trying to say? You know the story of Joshua when he's leading Israel into the promised land, and the first city that they had to conquer was Jericho. Well, Jericho really represents this thing that's absolutely impossible. Thank God we serve the God, amen, of impossibilities. He's a big God. And here's Jericho. The walls are so thick that they said that you could race chariots around the walls. And so God gives Joshua these instructions, and he says, listen to me. This goes right off of what Pastor Paul was saying. This is my plan. This is my way. Do it my way, and you'll win. Do it your way, and you'll fail. Right? He says, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go around. You're going to march around the walls of Jericho one time every day for 6 days. So he tells the Israelites, here's what we're going to do. We're going to march around, and we're going to do it on the first day. The first day, they march around, nothing happens. The second day, they do the same thing, nothing happens. Amen. I just love how God does things. He never does it like we expect him to do it. Amen. God can do it however he wants to do it. Amen. He just wants us to obey. The third day, they march around one time. The fourth day, they march around another time. The fifth day, they march around one time. And on the sixth day, and here's what I want to say, is sometimes even in the monotony, we have to trust God. You ever feel like you just come to church week after week, Sunday after Sunday? Amen. Before you know it, Wednesday's here, Sunday's here again. Anybody besides myself? We got some faithful people in this church. We got some people that make church a priority, and we're grateful for that. Amen. We need it. 7 days without church makes 1 week. And 7 days without church makes 1 week. Y'all just think about that for a minute. Amen. The monotonous. But think about this. What would have happened if they had stopped on six? What would have happened if they began to complain? They said, Joshua, you don't know what the heck you're talking about. We've done this every single day. We've done the same thing every day, and it's the sixth day. Listen, we're tired of this. We're not going to go any further. We know the story. We know that on the seventh day, amen, because of their obedience, amen, they marched around seven times. They blew the trumpets, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the walls begin to crumble. But if they had stopped on six, You know, six always represented the number of man, but seven is God's completion. And if we're not patient in the process, we'll miss out on the reward. Now, I don't know who this is talking to, but I know that God speaks to everybody in a different way. And many times I'll sit in a sermon, a service, and listen to a sermon, and it's just in one ear and out the other. And then there's other times when I come in and it's like a spotlight, like the lights are out and there's a spotlight right on me. And God intended that message for me. I don't know who this message is for tonight, but don't stop on six. Because there's a miracle right around the corner. God's trying to tell you, yes, I know it's been monotonous. Yes, I know that you haven't heard my voice in a long time. I know everything that you're going through. And he's saying, but listen, I've got a greater plan. I've got a big miracle. The walls are going to crumble. And God wants to do something on the seventh time. Can you say amen? Amen. So Jesus is the vine. Stay connected to the vine. God's the vine dresser. Let God mold you and shape you. Quit trying to do it your way. If I could just put it so bluntly, you don't have the answers. As Pastor Paul said, the answers are right here. Trust God. Trust God. And then, of course, since we're the branches, amen, allow God to shape us, and let's bear fruit. Let's bear fruit. Can you say amen? Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed in this place in reverence to God. Our musicians are coming tonight. Amen. I didn't preach long tonight, but we're going to open up these altars and we're going to allow God to do whatever God wants to do. I don't know where you're at tonight, but let me tell you something. God can do more in 5 minutes. God can fix it. God can set you straight. God can put you on the right path. God can give you an answer. There's something special about coming to an altar. Yeah, you can pray in your seat, and that's okay. But there's something special about coming to an altar and just getting down on your knees and saying, God, I don't have the answer. But I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you. You're the vine dresser. You're the gardener. I don't need a genie, God. I need a God that will shape me and mold me and will help me. And I submit myself to you. I promise you that if you do that, God has nothing but good for you. God's a good God. He's a gracious God. He's a loving God. We're not just here marking time. We're not here just for something to do on a Wednesday night, but we're here because we want God to help us. Can you say amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed in reverence to God all over this place as we're praying. How many, you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. Maybe what you know is religion. You don't want that. You want to know him as your personal Savior. You've come in, you're lost. Sin is weighing you down. You're addicted. You're dealing with certain things. Can I tell you something? If you give your heart to Christ and you believe in what he did at the cross, he'll save you. He'll redeem you. He'll love you. And he'll call you his own. That's not religion. That's a relationship with Jesus. How many all over this place, you'd lift your hand and you'd say, that's me. I need prayer. I need to be saved. God bless you. God bless you. How many more? I'm backslidden, pastor, in my heart. I'm away from God. I've slipped up. I've fallen. I've gone back into some things I know I shouldn't be in. And I'm reaching my hand out and I'm asking God to pull me back, to take me back. That's you. God bless you. How many more? Honest hearts, that's me. God bless you in the back. I see that hand. He's a good God tonight. Then there's people tonight, you're in the middle of a storm. And you don't see any way out. But tonight you'll trust the process. You'll trust the process. You say, I'm not going to quit. You'll resolve in your heart, I'm not going to quit. I will not quit. I'll abide in him. As long as you abide in him, he'll abide in you. He'll help you. Let's all stand to our feet in this place tonight. As we begin to sing this song, we're going to open up these altars. Amen. We're going to find God. We're going to find a place. We're going to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Just come now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Jesus. God, I don't understand tonight. God, I'm frustrated. Jesus, I need help. Lord, I come to you, God. I bow my needs to your needs, God, and I pray, Lord, your will be done in my life. Just open up your heart tonight. Pour out your heart to God. Just begin to talk to him in your own words. God, you see the pain, the struggle, the storm that I'm in. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me, God.
Everything to you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.